This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Back to school tomorrow. I was putting together the pile of all the crap they make you buy for the school year. Three boxes of sharpened pens. Like, my wife was going through it. All right, make two piles. One for Tommy, one for Andrew. Okay, we're going to go through Tommy's. Three boxes of sharpened number two pencils. I'm like, oh my God, three boxes. Two boxes of crayons, one inch spiral notebook. Scissors, thin markers, dry erase markers. I was like, oh my God, it's all coming back. But I can't wait to get them on that bus. Oh yeah. You put them on that bus. See ya. Back to school. Third grade for the for Tommy. That's when it's social studies, math. Man, this is going to be tough. That's where Billy Madison took a real turn for it in third grade. So I'm hoping same happens for the big guy. 888-808-1019. And just to clear up the Yankee talk, I'm not saying these games aren't big. And I'm not saying that the Yankees haven't crapped all over themselves, especially the Red Sox. And I said as much. They're soft. They were soft. They folded. They kicked the ball around. They didn't play well. But I can't put all the emphasis on the games where if they win, I won't feel that much different. Like, it's about winning the division, plain and simple. I challenge Yankee fans, call me up. You really feel like if they lose, I get it. If you lose, they lose to bad teams. They lose to good teams. But if they lose, it's not about that for me. It's about losing. And it's about not winning the division. It's about putting themselves in a worse position. That's what it's about. Could they still get into the playoffs and play well? Absolutely. Will it be harder? Yes, I don't want to make it harder. That's why these games are important. So if they lose, we could talk about they lose to bad teams, sure. If they lose, you could tell me, oh, they can't beat the Red Sox, they can't beat this one, they can't beat that one. I won't believe you necessarily that they can't, but it shows me that they haven't proven to be good enough too, but it makes winning the division and all that stuff harder. That's the main point. But like, if they beat the Red Sox this week, you're going to feel that much more. You're going to feel like, okay, now I'm confident against the Boston Red Sox. No, you're not. Nor should you be. Or should you be? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Like they beat the Blue Jays, they beat the Tigers, they beat the Astros. Suddenly they're gonna go in. They can go beat Houston, no problem. This proves it. I think you're crazy. Like that's part of it too. This is not. This is anti-Yankee in some ways because I don't think winning makes me feel any better. They're just regular season games. It doesn't mean they'll go out there and beat them in the postseason or that it'll be they'll be much better, that there's some sort of track record to prove they can do it. It's crap. Win the division any way, shape, and form. The easiest way to do it, the most likely way to do it, right now probably the only way to do it, is to go in there and play well in these 12 games. Bottom line, have to play well against Toronto. You want to win the division? You can't lose that series to Toronto. Not if you want to win the division, and that's what I want. So that's why the games are important. That's it. Not because of their record against bad teams or their record against this or their record against that. It's to try and go win the division. Plain and simple. The other narratives about whether or not you'll buy in or believe in them is absolute crap. It's about winning the division. And if they want to win the division, they better play well over the next 12 days. Bottom line. And if they don't and they get in and they play the Boston Red Sox, I'm not going to go forget this. They can't beat the Red Sox because they lost again to them in September. I'm not. Maybe you will. I won't. If they end up beating the Red Sox but not winning the division, playing them in the wild card round, I'm going to go, wow, I feel much better about playing the Red Sox. They took 2 out of 3 the last time they saw them. Please. Please. No, you're not. No, you are not. You're going to feel the same way. You're going to feel like, man, they're going to lose to the Red Sox. If that's how you tend to feel, that's how you're going to feel. No matter whether they win these games or not. This doesn't define the New York Yankees. It's about winning the division. It doesn't define this team. It might define the season. Because the season's about winning the division. So these games might define the season. But it doesn't define who these Yankees are and whether or not they're capable of winning a championship. I don't see it that way. Other than they would benefit from winning the division, not having to play in the wild card round. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Chris, it doesn't matter whether they win these games, Yankees or Mets, as long as the pitching is good. Playoff baseball is 85 to 90% pitching. I saw Mel Stottlemyre come up in 64 for 2 months. 2 months! He carried the Yankees to 2 outs in the World Series Game 7. Three times, he started against Bob Gibson in the World Series. I saw Fernando Valenzuela do it in 81.
Mm-hmm.
Came up at the end of the season. All that matters is pitching. I don't care, these two kids on the Mets and the kid on the Yankees. If they're pitching good, I wouldn't be scared to pitch him over Rodon in Game 2. And the two kids on the Mets, 1 and 2 if they're pitching good. All that matters is how they're pitching toward the end of the season. I don't even think it's a big deal to play the first series best of 3. Because you can win that in 2. You get Major League Baseball, because of the scheduling, gives you 4 days off after that for some reason. Because they think it may go 3 games and they got a television and all. So there's really no advantage not playing the first 2 games if you can win them in 2. So it's all on the pitching. Everything is pitching related. If you don't have the pitching, you have no chance. And the fact that these are kids, doesn't matter. They're fresh. If they're good and they're dominating these last few games, that's all that's going to matter. So I think that's what we got to look to, especially with the Mets, the two kids. These are Senga, we don't need him. He's not pitching well. I'm sorry. If Holmes can't do it, fine. He gave us a good, 4 or 5 months of the season. That's it. He wore himself out. Who's ever pitching good at the end, that's who you're going to go into the playoffs with. And it doesn't matter how much experience they have, because it really doesn't factor. As long as you go in, you go your 5, 6, maybe 7. Mm-hmm. What difference does it make? The bye, it's not football where you're getting beat up.
Yeah.
It's better, but it doesn't mean any. And then the second series is best of 5?
Yeah.
If that team that had the best record in baseball has a bad 3 days, like the Tigers, let's say, or the Milwaukee Brewers, that's it. They're gone.
I agree.
If they don't get the pitching.
That's it.
I'm
totally with you, Richard. I totally agree with you. Other than, like, you're poo-pooing the idea of winning the division. I want to avoid the idea of losing. I want to make it to the next round. And we haven't had enough evidence with this new playoff round, this new playoff format, to prove whether or not the bye hurts you or helps you. It's early returns are that the bye hurts you. The early returns are the bye hurts you. We've seen the wild card teams perform well. Texas won a World Series from a wild card position. But I do want to avoid the idea of losing in the first 2 games. I don't want to lose those. You say, it's no big deal. Win the first 2 games. Yeah, there is a team there who lost the first 2 games. I'd rather not be them. And as far as the pitching, but I want to get you. you want to trust two kids because Fernando Valenzuela did it? Like, I don't know, man. That's where I still would try to see if I could get anything out of Sango Manaea. I just would. Asher and Rockaway, what's up, Asher?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, when you say like these games are important, yes. In what way? Like skill?
Excuse me? Like skill?
Yeah, like skill or like against preservance against like bigger teams.
Nah, yeah, I don't care about necessarily that much about the record against better teams or what this would do for that or their record against the Red Sox. I want to win the division. These next 12 games are important because they're playing the Red Sox and the Blue Jays in that 12 period span. And if I want to win the division, I got to win those games. It's coming down the stretch of the season. I can't afford to just lose series to the Astros. I can't afford to lose series to Detroit. They got to win. So that's the bottom line. They need to win games, and specifically, I want to win the division. I want to avoid the wild card round. I want to have home field advantage because that sets them up the best to go win the World Series. So these games are important for that reason, because if they play poorly and go 3-8 in these, or 3-9, or 4-8 in these 12 games, it's very unlikely they accomplish those things. So that's why these games are important. But I'm not going to look at the end of the year and go, well, they really improved their record against above 500 teams. Like, I don't care about that. I care about winning the division. So that's why they're important to me. I'm not looking to have a winning record against 500 teams. I'm looking to win the division. That's it. One helps the other typically. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I want to get to the postseason in the best opportunity to win the World Series. That comes with home field advantage and a bye, in my mind. Now, the as we were just talking about, we could find out whether or not the bye helps you or not in this new playoff format. And all those days off, if you want to blame it on Judge having that much time off and why he goes into slumps, I think that's a cop-out, but we've seen the Dodgers have a bye and win the World Series. We've seen teams struggle off the bye and not play well. We've seen the teams that win a series build momentum and play better going in. So I don't know. But for me, it's home field advantage, and I don't want to play in the wild card series. That's how I feel about it. So that's why these next 12 games are important. Not to send any kind of message or prove to the fan base that we're this or that, or like to make me feel any more better or confident heading into a postseason series, because I don't think that's going to happen other than, am I at home? And have they gone through their best starting pitching because I get a wild card team? That's what I want. That's what I want. And this is where I differ than, I want to win these games because that's the best way to do it. But if you're a Yankee fan, would you not sign up for this? Like I asked you, Brian Cashman sucks, hit me up on Twitter. Let me ask you. Would you not sign up for winning the division even if they lose most of these games? Like, who cares? Like, if they lose, I don't know. Let's say they go 5-7, 4-8. Let's go 4-8, because worse than that, I can't even imagine it happening. So let's say 4-8. Worst case scenario, they go 4-8, and they win one game in all these series. They lose all these series. They go 4-8. Then they don't lose again the rest of the year and win the division and have the number one seed in the American League. Will you care? Does it matter? Like, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. You can say it does, and it's easy to say it does. It's easy to call me up and go, what are you talking about, Fatso? They got to win these games. They got to prove they can beat this team. They can't just beat up on bad teams and win the division. And you can say that. It sounds better. And it sure makes me sound like a wimp saying it doesn't matter. But that's the truth. It's the truth. The truth is it doesn't matter. Truth is the playoffs are going to start. They're going to play the way they're going to play. That's it. That's it. That's the truth. And the truth is winning this series doesn't make me feel like, if they sweep the Astros, I'm going to feel confident about beating the Astros. Much more confident than I would have been anyway. Okay. Sure. I don't think I'll have no worry that Altuve is going to go off. No worry. Because they won 2 out of 3. Stop. Eric in Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
D-Mac.
What's up, brother? Good. How are you?
Just speaking the truth, buddy. You speak the truth.
That's it. I love it. Speak the truth.
And by the way, as far as school starting, don't forget about the glue sticks and the post-it notes and all the other
glue
stuff.
Glue sticks, man. 2 packs of index cards, 4 glue sticks. They come in packs of 3.
You.
Glue sticks,
yes,
the biggest pack we could find was packs of 3 on the glue sticks. So I had to buy, what am I going to do with the extra 2?
I'm with you.
Come on now.
Well, and two packs of
index cards, all of it, whole thing. We had to buy the new backpacks. And, of course, they need the new Goat USA. I don't know if you're familiar with this brand, but it's like a baseball brand.
Oh, I'm very familiar.
Oh, good, yeah. So they had to get they had to get the Goat USA baseball brand backpacks, just the whole thing, you know.
Oh, yeah, $50 T-shirts that they're going to grow out of in 6 months.
Exactly right. Come home with pizza sauce all over them. Forget growing out of them.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm there. I feel your pain, brother. Yeah. So, good for you. They go back tomorrow. Mine doesn't go back till Thursday. But I do think they should paint angel wings on the school bus just for that first day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's nothing better. And you know what else? Man. You know what else tomorrow brings? Unfortunately, because my wife isn't home for it, tomorrow brings me being Mr. Photographer, and they have the boards. First day of third grade, first day of first grade. I got it in front of the house, back of the house, on the swing thing over here at the bus stop. I'm gonna be taking a million pictures. I gotta do their hair. I'm gonna have to get them ready, take all the pictures. It's such a pain in the ass the first day of school.
Oh, we live the same life, brother.
But then, I know, but then, you know, and you know, in 6 months or whatever, I'll be like, oh, man, how they've gotten so big. Oh, that it does happen. But like in the moment, I'm just thinking of I'm going to have to do this, and that we're missing a couple letters. So I'm going to have to take like a couple of the, like Andrew has to go first. Then I got to take some of the letters to make his sign work. It's such a pain in the ass.
It absolutely is, and I roll at the time, but we love it after the fact.
Absolutely.
So I totally get it, man.
Absolutely.
So the Yanks here, some of these calls, I you know, as fans, I know we're fanatics, and I totally get it. But these fans that are calling saying that we've got to, you know, really, you know, put the hurt to Houston and to Boston, and you know, that matters in some way, shape, or form, are the same fans that are all mad and angry about Aaron Boone being at a North Carolina football game. It's completely and utterly illogical. It's just emotional.
It's
ridiculous. Because to me, even like as important as these 12 games are, and I don't want to minimize that because they are, but the reality of it is, even if to your point, they were to go 4-8 or God forbid 3-9, something like that, they could then go on a run, sweep the Twins, sweep the Orioles, sweep the White Sox, and then the Orioles again. And then it doesn't matter. We win the division anyway. So to me, how they get there doesn't matter. To your point, you just want to get there. And the data, I hear you on the buy and whether or not that matters or not. I don't know the answer to that either. But to me, I think the best probability is to get the buy and to play at home.
I agree.
I mean, the Yankees play better at home. That gives you the better probability, would think. I mean, that to me is what I want more than anything.
Absolutely.
And then, I mean, am I going to apologize for how we got there? This whole narrative that the Yankees are a bully team. Like, what does that even mean? Like, we beat the bad teams and we lose to the good teams. Whatever. It doesn't, I mean, again, it's 162 games, and if the other teams are on the
then they should have been better at beating the bad teams. We've said it before. Yankees have lost the division because they didn't play well enough against the Baltimore Orioles and the bad teams, and that's why they lost the division. If the Toronto Blue Jays lose the division but have a better record against the Yankees and the 500 teams, shame on them for not being good enough against the bad teams. Plain and simple. Sorry, that's how I feel. Win the division. It doesn't matter how the hell you get there. It doesn't. These games are important because it's unlikely they get there without playing well in these 12 games. That's why they're important. That's it. That's why they're important. Not because they're going to send some kind of message. That's not it. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. Now, I mean, in fairness, listen, there's always levels to this. I don't want to see them go out there every time they play a good team and just crap all over themselves. Like, sure. Who wants to see that? That would make you think they'll do it in the postseason. But you know what? I think they do that in the postseason against anybody anyway. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, if that's who they are, that's who they are. We'll find out. But, like, I don't really view it as that. I view it as winning the division. These 12 games are important because they are playing the Red Sox. They are playing the Toronto Blue Jays. They're playing the Tigers, and they're playing the Astros. These are the teams that are ahead of them. Not only do I want to win the division. I want home field advantage. I want to play the Astros game one, Yankee Stadium. I want to play the Tigers game one, Yankee Stadium. And you're right. Like the buy, the home field advantage, you're telling me that if the Yankees win the division and they play the Red Sox in the ALDS, you're not happy that Crochet isn't starting game one because he had to start in the wild card game? In the wild card series? Absolutely. I'm glad I don't have to face him twice in a five-game series, theoretically. Like, of course, I want the bye, I want home field advantage. I want the division, I want the bye, I want the home field advantage, in that order. They're two games away from doing it. That's why these games are important. I'm not trying to minimize them. I'm not trying to run away from them. I'm not trying to say, oh, I don't think the Yankees will win, so this is why I'm having this take. Not at all. I expect the Yankees to play well. And if they don't, I'll get on them. I got on them for how they played against Boston. I was in Italy, but I got on them. Kicking. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed in how they played. But embarrassed 2 weeks ago means nothing today. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Embarrassment of 2 weeks ago means nothing tomorrow night in Houston. That's how I feel. And winning a series against Houston will mean nothing if they see them in the playoffs. Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, C-Mac. How's it going, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Getting back to reality after the long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, just echoing what you said, I think you're pretty much spot on. The Yankees do need to win the division. And I think two reasons that they also need to win it is because, one, they're a streaky hitting team. You know, some nights they'll put up 10 runs, some nights they'll put up one run. And I think that would hurt them big time in a short series if they have to do a three-game wild card series. You know, if they're bats two games, they'll be bounced out real quick.
And, one more time, you're breaking up, buddy. One more time, say that again.
Oh, so that in a short series, you know, if they start off cold and their bats aren't hitting, you know, that's going to be a big problem. And then the second thing is also you want home field advantage just because of the pitching. You know, pitcher big game, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. You kind of I kind of lost you there. It's about getting there. It's about pitching well. And that's why I feel good about the team, too. Like, even in the loss to Boston, like, this is why I'm excited about the team, or why it's not just about beating the bad teams, right? I understand that if they were doing some of the same crap, if it was just the offense exploding, and that's why they're winning these games, they won a game in extra innings. Right, I know it's against a bad team. I know it's against the White Sox, and they didn't score in the 10th. And it's just, it's even embarrassing that it took extra innings to beat the White Sox. But they did some. They even though the small ball ended up not working, like, they played the game. The bullpen pitched well and got out of big time jams and got big key strikeouts. They scored runs in extra innings. They've won the last two games on the road in extra innings. Max Fried, his last two starts, and one was against the Boston Red Sox. He was excellent in that game. He was excellent his next start. If Max Fried can become back what he was at the start of the year, they have a game one start you feel good about. Carlos Rodon beat the Red Sox when they desperately needed it. We could say now it didn't matter. It was the final game of the four-game set where they had lost the series already. Bullcrap. You don't want to get swept. Every game matters. That was a good start from Carlos Rodon. He's been good. Cam Schlittler has been incredibly good. His last two starts, his secondary pitches have gotten so much better over his last two starts. You feel really good about him in a postseason start. Those are three guys you feel pretty. I know Carlos Rodon will always have that, you know, big game worry, but like, he's pitched really well this year. Cam Schlittler's been great. And Max Fried, his last two starts has been really good. And he's starting this series against Houston. Go out there and pitch well. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for Max Fried to pitch well. I'm looking for the team to set themselves up to play well in the postseason and make it to the division and win the division. That's what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at sending messages. The idea the Yankees could send a message to the Houston Astros with a three-game set after getting their ass kicked for a decade is laughable. Laughable. This isn't some. They got Carlos Correa on this team. They've got Alvarez on this team. They've got, obviously, Altuve on this team. They've got Framber Valdez on this team. They've got Christian Garcia on this team. They've got guys who have owned the New York Yankees for a decade. But this three-game set's going to really put a little bit of a swagger and a pep in the step of the New York Yankees. Please, please stop the madness. Please stop the madness. None of it, it doesn't matter nearly as much as you think, man. It's about winning the division and playing well when you get in. Setting yourself up to have the best case scenario. That's why these games are important. They're important. Not trying to run from that. Not trying to say they're not. I'm just saying they're not important for some of the ancillary reasons you think it is. It's important for one reason, the standings. Craig in Matawan. What's up, Craig?
C-Mac, two points on the Yankees. I just want to touch on the Mets real quick. The Yankee fans need to calm down, man. Aaron Boone go to a football game with his son. Who cares, man? It's not like, now, if the whole team goes on a yacht with Justin Bieber and gets parties up,
yeah,
and that's a different story. And two, you remember 2015, the Mets lost the season series to the Dodgers and to the Cubs. And the Cubs, they lost all seven games.
Yeah.
What happened? Mets beat the Dodgers, swept the Cubs.
Yep.
The regular season is great when your division's on the line. Once the playoffs start, it don't matter whether you lost 19 games to Boston or you beat Boston 19
Bingo.
Games or vice versa.
Bingo. 100% correct. I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you. It doesn't matter. We've seen it inside series. The Yankees won three in a row, and the Red Sox won four in a row. There's no guarantee of any of this. We've seen, like you said, the Mets went 0-7 against the Cubs, swept them in the 15 playoffs. We have
exactly.
seen it. The Dodger, the Mets beat the Dodgers in every game in 88, and then the Dodgers won. The Yankees beat the Indians in every game in 07, lost in the playoffs. We have seen it time and time again. It doesn't matter.
One point on the Mets real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have an HR department, but they might want to develop one, because how is Clay Holmes pitching probably – he's going to end up pitching. He's going to burn his arm out. Four times the amount of innings he's ever pitched in his career. Am I the only person that sees this as, like, a problem?
No, I don't think so. We've been talking about the idea that his pitch count is going to be up to a crazy number. I just think that, you know, there's only so much they could do. They knew this transition was coming. They've gone to a six-man rotation. And I do think he's destined for the bullpen in the postseason. We'll see. But of course, it's been, and even as a reliever, I said this at the start of the year, even as a reliever, look at his trends as a reliever for the New York Yankees. Excellent in the first half, struggles in the second half. Two-time All-Star, then he fades. And that's as a reliever, not a starter. Now, he's done a really nice job. Even as his struggles, he's not been god-awful, but he's just not been the same. He was at the start of the year, a little bit more home run ball. And you know, it is. It's hitting an innings limit. The rotation is in a, like, it's tough, man. They're relying on, and Sproat hasn't even come up, and it feels like they're going to be relying on him. And he hasn't even pitched yet. It's not going to be easy. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Be right back after this. Take you all the way to midnight here in our ride to midnight on this Labor Day Monday. 888-808-1019. We'll get into a little bit of football, obviously, as the season is upon us. We'll do more of that, obviously, in the overnight leading into Thursday and into Sunday. We'll do all the fun over-under stuff. We'll do Giants and Jets, and, you know, we'll get into it a little bit. I think the Giants' plan is the right one with Jaxson Dart. I think the two quarterbacks for this, my nerves for the Jets season is pretty much all based on whether or not they can have a passing game. It's nice to have a culture. It's nice to have a run game. It's nice to, you know, hopefully eliminate penalties, and particularly pre-snap penalties, and coach them up, and all that's important. You got to figure out a way to throw the football. And right now, that's my fear with the New York Jets. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Be right back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
As football season's upon us, you know, it was funny, too, watching the college football game on Sunday. We had Mike Carver on. We're going to have him on Saturdays. Carver High on Twitter does a great job. Used to work at the station for many, many years. Known him going back a long time. We were talking college football. And obviously Saturday, Arch Manning kicks off. I mean, if Arch Manning isn't proof of so many different things, like, just think of all the different things that Arch Manning proved. One, I can't tell you how many guys or, you know, people call me up and tell me, oh, the Giants shouldn't take anyone. Don't take Jackson Dart. Take none of these quarterbacks. These quarterbacks stink. Next year, you'll be able to take Arch Manning, you know, tank for Manning. Like, it's in the, like, and he comes out as a, you know, a Heisman favorite and plays as bad a game as you could possibly play. Not just, you know, and not just results. I mean, his throwing, I just saw a funny meme that had his throwing motion, and then they cut in Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite. Like, it was that bad. Throwing sideways and weird arm angles. Now, look, it's also one game. And it doesn't make Arch Manning, you know, a terrible quarterback. We're going to find out. He's just kind of getting his college career underway. But the idea, one, we found out weeks ago, we don't even know if he's going to enter the NFL draft.
Like, the idea the Giants or anybody should wait for the next crop of quarterbacks, or this group stinks. When you need a quarterback, you have to take the one in the draft. You can't wait around. You have no idea who's coming. You have no idea if you'll get there. You have no idea who's coming out in the draft or how good they're going to be. We've seen Trevor Lawrence absolutely stink as a can't-miss prospect. And I know that's part of the idea of taking the quarterbacks, is that some of them miss. But, like, you just don't know. You just don't know. And for Arch Manning to play that way, and now suddenly nobody would want the Giants or anybody else to wait. Off of that performance, it feels like he's going to stay in college and not come out. That's how bad it was. But against the defending champ, Ohio State, now I'm sure he'll play better, and I think already we're ready to throw him. We love building players up, and especially, Manning, part of the Manning family. We would be so quick as a people, as sports fans, to be ready to throw him in the garbage and just be like, what a bunch of BS, what a bunch of hype. But at the same time, that is proof, man. You don't know. You have got to take the quarterback when you need one in the NFL. You can't wait for the next crop. You don't know. He might not even come out, and he certainly, after 1 week, doesn't look like the guy that we all expect to be the number one pick and someone who's going to save a franchise. You just don't know. And right now, Jackson Dart, and obviously Jackson Dart is a very interesting conversation right now because of how well he played in camp and how well he played in preseason. I think the Giants are doing the exact right thing. I had Mark Schlereth on at Fanatics Fest. When I did the show live from Fanatics Fest, he popped on. And he was a big proponent of starting Jackson Dart right away. And, off of camp, I know there's a lot of voices, especially with Russ and the way he's played the last couple years and where he is in his career. And you drafted Jackson Dart, and, these kids get thrown into the mix. And we've seen guys be uber successful when they look as ready as he did in preseason. We saw Jaden Daniels last year. We've seen what's gone on in Houston with the Texans and C.J. Stroud. We've seen these guys step in and immediately become these franchise quarterbacks. And we've also seen quarterbacks fail. And to me, if you have the opportunity to give this kid a chance to learn a little bit, right, even though he played well, I still think Russell Wilson can play. And I want to see if Brian Daboll can coach that out of him, can really, get him, throw the ball down the field. We saw at times where Tyrod Taylor was able to get the ball down the field with the Giants offense, at least had some kind of passing game. I want to see Neighbors. I want to see Slayton, who can get down the field. Hyatt, there was a lot of hope from him in camp. He put on all this muscle. He looked like he was in great shape. Speed was still there despite bulking up. And, he just can't find his way into the favor and good graces of this franchise and coaching staff. But, he can obviously get down the field. Wandell Robinson is a shifty receiver. Theo Johnson, I think, could be a good a tight end in this league. Like, I want to see Russell Wilson have a chance to play. And I don't want to have to – I want to win some games early on because I think they're capable of it. And even if they're not a playoff team, I think they're capable of playing some good football. And God knows the Giants just need it. And not that Jackson Dart isn't capable of it, but from day one, it's hard to imagine him to come right in and be as ready to play these games, winnable games. Winnable games against a Washington team that I don't think is going to have the same kind of season they had last year, and a Dallas team that just had their guts ripped out. And I do believe their guts ripped out. I know that there's reports of his podcast, talking about Micah Parsons, his podcast causing problems inside the clubhouse and inside the locker room. Not as much as losing a tremendous game-changing player does. I know they got back a good defensive tackle who can help stop the run, and they got a couple of picks next year and the year after. And we'll see if they package them up for Arch Manning. But I want to let him ease into this. I want to let them coach him behind the scenes, let him watch a handful of games. Hopefully the Giants win. I wouldn't mind if it's the whole season. I have seen too many quarterbacks be thrust in and fail. And I know he played well in the preseason. Give him time. Give him time. And the other thing is, with Daboll and Shane, I don't think they're going anywhere. I think their jobs are secure. I think, now, they can't win 2-3 games again. I think that goes without saying. But barring that, I really do think they decided to stick with him. I think John Mara made a big-time mistake in how he handled the media after coming to the conclusion at the end of the year in keeping Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. He wanted, it felt like to me, having listened to John Mara for a long time, being at Giant Camp, I've met him a few times, not saying I know him, but I've met him a few times, been there for all those interviews for years with Mike, and, you know, he wanted the fan base to know how mad he was. Like, in that media session, he needed you to understand that this is unacceptable and he's unhappy. And instead of coming out and saying, hey, listen, I believe in these guys, even though it's gone astray, I think this is, you know, the last couple of years, I feel like I constantly keep going back on my decisions and I trusted these guys and I made this decision for a reason and I'm sticking with it. And it's not about just winning next year. It's about they're not getting another chance at a winning season. They're getting another chance at this rebuild because I believe in them. But instead he came out and said, I'm not going to be happy. This better, you know, blah, blah. Like, he needed you to feel angry. But I think deep down, he knew exactly what he was doing, which is committing to this group for a long time. You don't allow them to draft a quarterback. And I've said this a lot because when they hired Shane and Daboll, he talked about Daniel Jones and how the franchise ruined them. We did everything we could to ruin this kid. That's the direct quote from John Mara. We changed coaches on him, offense coordinators on him. Like, we made it very difficult. Plus, we put terrible teams around him and couldn't block for him. But I just don't think he'll make the same mistake twice. He's going to let these guys, you know, draft Jackson Dart, and then he's going to change coaches on them after he fully admitted that's what ruined Daniel Jones? Like, I just don't see it. I don't think they're on the hot seat. I don't think there's anything mandated. I don't think they have to win a certain amount of games or show that Jackson Dart is this or that. I think they just have to, I think they're locked in, barring winning one or two games. Barring being another laughing stock and having fall apart and planes fly. Like, if they're even remotely in the mix and they win some games and surprise some people, I don't think there's any chance they're getting fired. Any chance. And if Jackson Dart comes in and plays relatively well, I think they would have to have just a miserable season to even be on the hot seat, let alone get fired. So when you have time like that and you're not trying to save your job and you're not trying to show you made the right pick at the quarterback, let this thing get settled. The only question I have is if Jackson Dart is as good as he looked in camp, Jackson Dart behind the scenes is playing well, and Brian Daboll feels and the organization feels like he's the better quarterback, would they make the switch? That's the only thing. Would they stop their thought process of development for the idea of he actually gives us a better chance to win football games? That's the only question I have on how Jackson Dart's going to get handled. Because I think ultimately the goal isn't to have him ready for this year. The goal is to have him ready moving forward. And when this team is in a position to go win and develop him and not have to thrust him into the media circus that is the New York Giants and the failures that have come from quarterbacks outside of Eli Manning, really, for both of these franchises here in New York that play home games at MetLife, which has Oasis there tonight, by the way. That's a great concert, Oasis at MetLife. But, like, I just think the only question I have is, obviously, if they start losing, the season's over, you know they go to Jackson Dart. Even if they're winning, like, or on some level playing well, say they're 3-5 or, you know, 4-6, and they're still in the mix. But Brian Daboll feels that Jackson Dart's the best quarterback. Is that when they go to him? I don't know. But Jackson Dart's played great. Obviously looks like a great pick. They got Carter. They handled the draft well. They handled free agency well. The New York Giants, who have been a dumpster fire for the last decade, including the winning season. And let me say this too, and I don't typically comment on things, but what sucks about being a Giant fan over the last 10 years, besides the obvious, has also been that the good moments end up being disasters. That the playoff season, you can't even look back on it fondly. Because that season where they won the road playoff game in Minnesota with Daniel Jones was an absolute mirage. That team wasn't very good. They found ways to win with the run game, stopped turning the ball over, and the defense made big plays at the end of games and got turnovers and somehow found ways to beat the Baltimore Ravens down 10 in the fourth and beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in London down 10 in the fourth, found way to win games they had no business winning, played better down the stretch, had one great, glorious game against a fraud Minnesota Vikings team, And that led to decisions that ruined the next 2 years. And led to a contract with Daniel Jones that ruined the next 2 years. You can't even look back on that season fondly. So the idea that anyone, and I'm not going to say who, but the idea that anyone could point to Tommy DeVito winning a game against the Green Bay Packers as a highlight, as the regular season highlight of the last 10 years or whatever nonsense was said is absolutely freaking crazy. That game sucks. They won that game. They won the game against New England, and it cost them Jaden Daniels. How could anyone look back fondly on Tommy DeVito winning any of those games? They should have lost every one of them. Now, this all led them to Jackson Dart, and we'll see if he's the next great player. But I know Jaden Daniels is pretty damn good. And the idea that we're supposed to look back on Tommy DeVito is obviously now no longer with the team. He got picked up by the Patriots. I actually think he could play a little bit in this league and might have a career as a backup. And I would be happy as hell for him. But please don't tell me that that win means anything other than just more disaster. In the moment that night, sure, I remember coming on after the game. I was all pumped up. Great. Great. It was a disaster winning those games. Disaster. And I got to talk to Tommy because I know he's got crazy takes. I know that. I know he likes, you know, he's wearing the Start Dart paper on his chest. The idea that that is a fun moment in Giant history is just asinine. 888-808-1019. That little bit of football talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, not even toilets in the bathroom, or at least toilet seats. But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's go to Wilson at the Rocks in Roxbury, New Jersey. What's up, Wilson?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's
hey,
going
listen,
on?
Listen, when you said that Ryan Day was coming back no matter what, I had to stop my car and like throw up. I'm sorry, because for you to tell Giants fans that this horrendous head coach is not on the hot seat, mm-hmm. and no matter what, he's coming back, I'm sorry, man. But yeah, I don't know why everybody's in love with this guy.
I'm not in love with him.
I have like five reasons why he's a horrendous head coach. Give me one reason why he's a good head coach. One.
Give you one good reason why he's a good head coach?
Give me one reason that he's a good head coach. One. And I give you five.
Well, I mean, I'm sure. Well, they've lost the last years. I can tell you this: he won a road playoff game with Daniel Jones. How about that?
Okay, that's the biggest problem. I mean, Daniel Jones made this guy look good.
Oh my God!
I mean, what other head coach, right, in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
embarrasses his offensive coordinator in front of the whole league? Hey, listen, hey, Mike, man.
Don't embarrass anybody in front of the whole league. You haven't seen coaches take away and take away play calling before?
Yeah. And then Jamal tells him, you want to come back? You can't play calls anymore. Hey, Mike, listen, I was horrendous on it. Why didn't you play calls again? You're going to tell, and he is a horrendous motivator. He doesn't make any game adjustments whatsoever. I mean, you have a lot of stuff coming out that he's horrendous to get along with.
That came out 2 years ago. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So why is all this love with Brian?
No one's in love with Brian Daboll. He won Coach of the Year. He took a franchise that had nothing and found a way to get them into the playoffs and won a playoff game. He was an offensive coordinator who every player he played for in Buffalo praised. He helped develop Josh Allen, and he came
no,
here.
No,
yes, he did. He helped develop.
You tell me that a coach that won 9 games in 2 years.
Well, he didn't win 9 games in 2 years. He had the 1 9-game season. Then he won, I don't know, 6-3. So he's won 18 games in 3 years.
They started 7-2. After they started 7-2, his record.
They won a road playoff game. You know how hard that. You want to count how many coaches have done that?
All I'm saying is 80% of Giants fans, man, You know what? You know what we're sick and tired of, man?
What's that?
That on year four of this head coach and this general manager, we're thinking about, well, let's improve. Well, let's not get embarrassed. Well, let's be competitive. On year four. And you want Giants fans to wait this year if they win four or five games, bring this guy back again and again next year, run this again next year.
Well, I think they drafted a young quarterback. You want to mess up the quarterback? You got to give the one thing the guy has proven to be is a guy who develops quarterback. He had Tommy DeVito winning games. He had Daniel Jones winning a road playoff game. Like, he's been given nothing at the position. Nothing. He helped develop Josh Allen. He won a road playoff game with a terrible quarterback who's going to be proven to be terrible again in Indianapolis.
Daniel Jones won 9 games where Reggie James as
yeah, because the coach
receiver,
finally
man.
Coached the turnovers out of him.
All I'm saying is this, man. 80% of Giants fans, if they don't make the playoffs, we don't want this guy back.
I disagree with you on 80% of the Giants. If they win 7 games and don't make the playoffs with this team against this schedule, I think most Giant fans would be happy with the season. They're building. They won year one. They made poor decisions after year one. How many times do you want to hire and fire guys? How often do you want to go through this cycle of hiring and firing and hiring and firing and hiring and firing? Like, at some point, you got to show some faith in your thought process and your decision-making and stick with a coach. And honestly, last year's draft was excellent. This year's draft, I think, was pretty damn good. The offseason was good. I like this team. I think they're getting much better. I do. I think they're getting better. And I don't want to change coaches on this young quarterback who just got drafted, who could not be happier that Brian Daboll's his coach. And I want to give Brian Daboll an opportunity. They hired Brian Daboll for one reason. He helped develop Josh Allen into one of the best players in the NFL. That's why he got hired. It would feel like a waste to bring him in here and give him Daniel Jones, Tommy DeVito, Drew Lock. Like that, you're going to bring in a quarterback coach and give him that slop and then say, well, he can't coach. Like, I want to see what this guy can do with an actual quarterback room. And you just allowed him to draft a young quarterback. If you weren't going to let him see the thought process through, you weren't going to allow him to work with the kid, why let him draft him? That's why I'm saying that he's not under the hot seat, because you don't let guys who you think you're going to fire if they don't win and make the playoffs, you don't allow those guys to draft the most important player in your franchise. You don't allow him to make that decision and then say you better win 10 games. It's asinine. There's no way. Now, they can't win one or two, granted. The thing could fall apart. The players could give up. They could win 3 games again, and he could absolutely be fired. But the idea he has to win a certain amount or has to really have a great season, I don't agree with. I just think as long as he shows some development with Dart, as long as they play much better, as long as the offense can score some touchdowns and that they actually have a passing attack, as long as they win 5, 6, 7 games, the over-under is 5.5. As long as they win 5, 6 games, I think he's back. 888-808-1019. And it's hard to win less than that in the NFL, even with a tough schedule. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. We'll have the update with Peter Schwartz. We'll come back. Got you for 2 more hours. It's taking you all the way to midnight right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer.
Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.